Calvary. Saw my need. Let's sing it now. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Just a glad that he could do that for you. A lot of people look at your faults and see more faults. I look at myself and I see all kinds of situations, but I'm glad God looks at me as a finished product. I'm glad for that. You know, Brother Donnie said something the other night among many, many things that he said that just blessed my heart. Maybe it was either night or morning. I can't remember if it was a night service or morning. But he was talking about how much God has invested into you and to me. He didn't invest all of this into me and you to send us to hell. Hell is not my home. I've got a brand new body waiting in a brand new city and a brand new home. And I'm looking forward to getting to it. How about you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, isn't God good to us? Don't you love him with all your heart? Ain't it the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to know we're not junk. Junk is something you take to a junkyard. We're not junkyard Christians. We're not junkyard bound. We are the apple of God's eye. He put us right here in the worst possible time that anybody could ever live in to be overcomers. You are an overcomer. You are a Christian. You are a man or a woman of great integrity because He has made an investment in you. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that investment that you made. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the investment that you made. Hallelujah. Opened our blinded eyes, opened our deaf ears, placed something in our heart that makes us love this message more than life. Do you love Him for that tonight? Isn't He good? Shake somebody's hand, give them a nice warm smile, a good shake of the hand, tell them you love them and good to see them in the house of God. Play some more of it, guys. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? You glad to be here tonight? Good to see every one of you. Did you come to have church? Did you come to participate? Not just be an onlooker. Not just ride somebody else's shirt. But you're going to participate tonight. Somebody say, I will. Somebody say, I will not be denied. All right, give the Lord one more hand clap of praise as you're seated tonight. You can be seated while we look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Pinkston, if you would get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll remember Sister Becky Lynch and her family as her father passed away this week. Most of you probably knew that, so we certainly want to pray for that family that the Lord would just comfort their hearts. Sister Deanna Glenn, I think I actually have a couple prayer requests in regard to this. Sister Anna Altland. And family, they're in Pennsylvania with her mother. Her mother is near crossing over. They're not expecting her to live. So we want to pray for that situation that the Lord would just be mindful of them and give them comfort during this time. I want to pray for Sister Joy, Brother Buzz, son-in-law, David Hicks. He was admitted to the hospital today with pancreatitis. So let's pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful of him. I want to remember Brother Monty Love's grandmother, she is very sick, so let's pray for that need tonight. This is from the Bentley family. I hope I got that right. Remember their family in prayer. Situations that's coming up, we ask that the Lord would work everything out for us and give us strength. We're just praising the Lord that He'll do that. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Sister Beatrice Gilbran. From Florida, she has a special unspoken prayer request for healing in her body. Also, her husband is suffering with pain in his body. They're asking that we would remember that situation as we pray tonight. Here's an unspoken prayer request for a friend, that she would get salvation, become closer to the Lord, and guide my friendship with this person. So we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Aretha McQueen not feeling well, in a lot of pain, so let's pray for that need. Sister Jen Winter's heart is giving her some problems again, so we want to remember her tonight. Certainly miss Sister Jen when she's not able to be with us here in the service. Brother Reese wants us to pray for his grandchild running a fever, so let's pray for that request tonight. Brother Phil Horniak sends us in a prayer request for Bryson McCracken, a little 3-year-old who is having a biopsy on some knots in his neck to see if they are cancerous. A woman at work asked me to put up this prayer request, so we just commit that to the Lord and certainly pray that that child would be well and everything be all right. This is another prayer request Sister Martha Ann sends in regard to Sister Anna Altland's mother. The hospice has taken that situation over, so let's pray that all would be well with those folks. Brother Lance Parker is sick, home tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. We certainly want to pray for him. We have a card of thanks tonight from Sister Stephanie Weeb. Just want to thank all of you for praying for me. I was very sick and weak, and my mom sent in a prayer request. I am doing a lot better now. Thank you so much, and may God bless you. To God be all the glory. So we praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe God's able? Do you believe you're serving a God that's able? Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, Brother Pinkston, if you would come. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Invite his presence into this service tonight. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen, Brother Pinkston. God bless you as you pray over these needs tonight. God bless you.
Several months ago, my little girl asked me, why doesn't Brother Louie ever have you open the service in prayer? And I said, I really don't know, but I expect that he's inspired to call on who he calls on, and either that or he doesn't like me. But I don't think. Well, she said, if he ever does, would you be nervous? And I said, certainly. I think anytime somebody wants you to stand before people, you get a little nervous. But I says, that's not what you really need to look to. You need to realize that it's a great honor if somebody asks you to pray. And I guess last weekend she had had enough. She went to Brother Louis, pulled him aside after some, and said, last Sunday after service, and pulled him aside and said, Brother Louis, my dad would sure be honored if you'd call on him to pray. So bow your hearts with me tonight, if you will. Lord, it is true. It is an honor to be called upon to pray. And Lord, when I first saw myself in the scripture that said when the weakest believer gets on his knees and talks to you, he can cause the walls of hell to tremble. Lord, that makes me feel good, Lord, that I know I have that kind of power when I talk to you. And I'll never look at prayer the same. Father, I just, on behalf of the people, Lord, we have need of some of your glorious attributes tonight, Lord. And one of them, and maybe the foremost, is forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we just pray that from the oldest to the youngest, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our shortcomings and our mistakes, Lord, our folly. God, we just not only pray that you'd forgive us, but Lord, that you'd drop them in the depths of the sea, not to be remembered anymore. And as we go into the service now, Lord, I pray that you'd come down, show yourself to us in a supernatural way, Lord Jesus. Pray that you would anoint the song leader, anoint the songs, anoint the singers, Lord. Father, we just also pray that, Lord, when your servant comes from the little room over there, Lord, that you'll give him physical strength and clarity of mind. Lord, may he just be a conduit to bring the word to us. And, Lord, we know you are able to do these things, and we're also confident that you can meet each request, Lord, both spoken and unspoken. Lord Jesus, we also pray that with every situation, Lord, that you move in according to your will, Lord, that you would show yourself glorified. Father, that you would maybe cause someone to accept you, cause someone to draw closer to you, whatever the case may be. Lord Jesus, we pray now as we go deeper into the service, Lord, that you would just be in control. And Father, as we leave this place, may we say and truly believe the words that are spoken, Lord, and may we be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. We pray in Jesus Christ's name all these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Pinkston. God bless you. I guess you could be safe to say tonight that Brother Pinkston and I both caved into a child. But that's okay. Amen. That's okay. I've asked people to pray before, and they said, if you ask me to come up there and pray, I'll drop dead where I'm standing. And I asked one man to come up and pray one time, and he said no. In the congregation, he said no. And I said, well, do you want to just stand back there and pray? He said no. I said, everybody bow your head. And we all prayed. And afterwards, he told me, he said, Brother Louis, I want to tell you something. He said, I hated with all my heart to tell you that. But he said, I'd have dropped dead. He said, I couldn't have moved out of my seat. And so I've started asking people, would you mind to pray? I want to do that before I ask you to come up here, because some people just, they have a hard time doing that. And that's no reflection on anybody. But we got through it tonight, and we done good, didn't we? Yeah. Brother Pinkston, God bless you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome some folks to the service tonight. Brother Russ and Sister Bethany Patton visiting from Brother Chad Lamb's Assembly in Lima, Ohio. Where would you folks be? Right over here? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service with us. Any other visitor, we're glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray it'd be a blessing to them. Brothers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. Let me make this announcement. Brother Michael Bailey wants you to know this. We are participating in the Samaritan Purse Operation Christmas Child this year. Every family is welcome and encouraged to help with this project. You select a boy or girl and fill in a shoebox with different items that you think would help that child and return them to the fellowship hall. Please come to the fellowship hall after the service tonight. We have a table set up, plus showing a short video of what it's all about and how it works. And we have the shoeboxes ready for you to take. Brother Michael Bailey thanks you. So let's do that tonight. You help a child, you've done a tremendous thing. I don't care who you are. You've done really good if you help a child. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Let's sing that little song tonight. So much to thank him for. You feel that way? I certainly do. We've got a lot to thank him for tonight. Yes, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Sing that chorus again. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. Oh, he's been so good to me. Praise him for, you see, he's been so good to me. When I think
Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. Sing it now. To praise Him for, you see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
Sometimes, while on this way I kneel, I stop and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And one day, I'll reach that shore, oh please, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank
Him for, you see, He's been so good to me. When I think what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
Amen. So much to thank Him for. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to sing a little chorus. Brother Fred, you got us a song for tonight. If you'd come, be getting ready. Sister Lisa, if you'd come, be getting ready to play for Him tonight. We'll go right on into the service. But let's sing that. He's got it all in control. I'm so glad I can rest in that tonight. Aren't you glad you can? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Fred gets ready to give us a song tonight. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time. Oh, He's got it all in control. Do you believe it tonight, church? He's got it all in control. Way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Give Brother Fred a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for you tonight.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. I was so burdened with sin and distress. Then I heard a sweet voice. Why don't you make me your choice? And I entered the haven of rest. If you know the chorus, sing it with me. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and by faith I took hold of God's word. My chains and fetters all fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and by faith I took hold of God's word. My chains and fetters all fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come on and anchor your soul in that haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. Sing it with me. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come, let's pray for our pastor tonight. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Say it one more time. Yes, I've anchored my
for that hiding place tonight. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. Now listen who all he's gathering together, because he has a real specific reason for all this. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains and judges and treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And there stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall that same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." That sounds like some real severe pressure of assimilation. So I'm going to speak to you tonight on wisdom or compromise. Wisdom or compromise. It takes a real spiritual person to be able to discern the difference between so-called wisdom and compromise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful tonight, Father, that we have been given this opportunity once again, that we could stand before the purchase of your blood. I thank, Lord God, all that you've done for us, all the prayers you've answered, all the many times that you've come to console us, to help us. Lord, for all the years that we've gathered here in this place, on the average of 3 times a week. It would be amazing the amount of prayers and the amount of things, no doubt thousands times thousands of things that you've done right here in this place. It would be a sin for us to disbelieve you now. So Father, we pray that you would anoint us, that we can stand for you in this hour. Help us that we will be a faithful people to the cause. We do not ask that the road be easy. We do not ask that everybody like us. We do not ask that everybody even understand what we stand for. But we ask that we would be faithful to you. That's the first and foremost desire in our hearts. Speak to us tonight, Father, by your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look back, if you would, at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Now remember, this man had a dream about an image. Except in the dream, there were several different metal elements inside this dream. But when he sees the dream, the only part that was gold was the head. But you know, there's something about that apparently that kind of ate on him. He did not want just that element to be gold. And we know that this image actually is an image of Daniel. So he's going to usurp a position. And this is the beginning of the Gentile kingdoms. So in this, one man can foreshadow or portray many, many hundreds or even thousands of years. Now watch what he does. He makes the height of this 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. So the dimensions of this are not really shaped like a man. It's almost like an obelisk, but it has an image of a man. Now, when you look at the size of this, it's colossal, gigantic in size, but it's not really true to form to represent a man in the way that we would look at a man. So it's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. So it's something that's very, very gigantic in height. Now, watch these dimensions, because in them contains an element of prophecy as well as what was going on at that time. So the number here that we want to look at is the number of the Gentiles, which is the number 6. Now, unlike the Roman system of math and mathematicians and mathematics, which was based upon 10, which is where ours come from, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, the Babylonian or the Chaldean system come from the number 6. So 6 was their root number by which they measured from. Even part of it today. In our hours, we have 60 minutes. The Babylonian calendar, which preceded the Roman calendar, had 360 days in a year, or 30 days in every individual month. Now watch, so in this is being projected the image of the Gentile kingdoms. And it starts out under the number 6, which is the number of a man. It falls short, one short, of the number 7, which is completeness, of course, in the way that God does. So the stature or the dimensions of this stature are 6 cubits wide by 60 cubits tall. So we've got 6, 6, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there were 6 instruments that was mentioned. So we got 6, 6, and then we've got 6 instruments that are being mentioned at the introduction of this Gentile worship of idolatry. Praise the Lord. Don't you love things like that? Oh man, the Lord gives it to you. Now, even as I said in our modern time, by 60 minutes being in an hour, and actually this is the first place in the Bible that the word hour is used. In the very hour that they do not bow down, in that hour they will be thrown into the furnace of fire. So here we see the increment of time and the measurement of time and the measurement of the image. And the way the image is being introduced into worship, it is 666. Everywhere we look, it's 6, which is the number of man. So 6 is the number of human incompleteness. So man will never be able to attain to 7 without one more being added to what he does, which most men can never do, because they feel like what they do is so perfect and so complete. Why do they need anything added to what they are? But a real believer, which also is number 6, he realizes he needs one more added to him in order to make him complete. And that one more, of course, is God. So then you take, what's the difference between you and other human beings? You're 6, born number of 6 like they were. But you see your need for another one to add the completion into your life. So you'll open up your life, your soul, your mind, everything you are, which adds the very one which can bring all that to you. And then that makes you complete, because then you are reborn under 7 instead of 6. So 6 then is the number by which this is brought in. Of course, we know also Revelation 13:6 that it is the number of the beast. Now, I don't imagine that Nebuchadnezzar actually knew that prophetically what he was acting out in this image. But yet, in the image set up on the plain of Dura, it's amazing whenever you look at it that it's 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide, 6 instruments that are mentioned, and it is set up on the plain of Dura, which is 6 miles from the city center of Babylon. So everywhere you look, it's 666. Now, the image that will be revealed, of course, in the last day is a similitude. It will not be a natural image that will be set up, but it will be still again under the visage or the image of a man. So it will come up under the number 6 again and not 7. Even though they'll wind up building it in the 7th age, they still will only be 6. So they'll never reach perfection, will they? Now, what it will end up in is the deification of man. And this is why that we're living in an age when self-help books, self-help websites, and everything about all that you can be and reaching your full potential, and you can be this and be that and be something else. Don't you see where it's leading up to? It's leading up to the deification of man. Now, that will not end up just in one man alone, which will be the person of the Antichrist, but that anointing will be upon this age to where man will not want just to deify one man, but it will be the deification of man himself. And you imagine how contrary then that this message is to that. Our message teaches us to die. Because that is the message of the cross. Our message is that every man, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. So the message of the gospel is not a message of the deification of man, but it is the death of man. And that's why people don't like it. So they want a God that will not require much of them. A God that will let them live pretty much any way they want to live. And that's why the folks that pull away from the message, they must reshape the God that has been preached from the Bible and the message. So they will reshape him. Well, he's not this way. We just found out he's not that way. Oh, you just found out, did you? You've been listening to Eve's interpreter, the liar. That's right. If he demanded holiness, he always demands holiness. If he demanded a godly walk, he always demands a godly walk. So what do? Then they reshape that God where it will make it easier for them to live basically any way they want to live, and everybody's still going to heaven and everybody's still going to rapture. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. If God required it 2,000 years ago, 5 years ago, he requires it again today. Now, what it will lead to then is the deification or the glorification of man, to where that man does not necessarily have to make major changes in who or what he is. And this is the age we're living in, to where people can be accepted for what they are. So whatever they are, then everybody's just welcome. No matter what you are, come to our church. Everybody's welcome, and you don't even have to change. Hey, listen, anybody and everybody is welcome to come and visit our church. But we don't want you to remain the way you are. If you're a sinner, if you're lost, if you're tied up in the things of the world, this is a place to get changed. We don't want you to come here and change at us. We want you to be changed. Right, but that, of course, is not what the world wants. Now, whenever man's day was initiated in under 666, everywhere you look was 666, it was under the deification of man. It was under the administration of a great king. He was great, yet he was a heathen, but he was great in that God had dealt with him. Now, notice, so he sets this image up 6 miles outside of Babylon, the city center, and then he wants to bring in all of these rulers. Now, remember who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was a great man. He was a conqueror. Through him, there was many conquests that were made around the known world at that time. And yet he was something of which God was going to use him, but he was never going to be a man which is going to be completely surrendered to God. So God would use him as the head of gold. And it's amazing because there's 3 chapters after this, we move into the chest and the arms, which is the kingdom of silver. But in the same administration under these men that we're going to read about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they moved from the head of gold down to the dispensation of silver, them and Daniel as well. So they outlived both of those dispensations, and yet they were true to the one living God. So it tells us that times come and go, kings come and go, kingdoms come and go, but you stay with the word and you'll never die. Now watch, so Nebuchadnezzar is in a great spot now. Now he wants to usher in something and he must have it in order. Now remember, he's making moves that are prophetic. He may not realize it himself. So watch what he does. Now in verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar the king sent it together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now remember, this is not under the dominion of the Medo-Persians. This is still under the Babylonians, which was from Chaldea. Now under that, it was more like a dictatorship instead of the Medo-Persians. Under the laws of the Medo-Persians, which will be the next dispensation, the king was certainly over the kingdom, but they had actually set up what they call satraps. Under that was a satrap, which was a man which was over every province, which is 120 provinces, and then they finally conquered seven more, which made it 127. So they set up a satrap or a president over each province. Now the king could not actually make the laws by himself. It was sort of like the satraps and the counselors and the sheriffs made up the Congress and the Senate, but not with Nebuchadnezzar. Under the kingdom of the Babylonians, this king was more like a monarch in that if he said this was the law, this was the law. But watch the dispensations now as it moves into the Gentile kingdom. So it starts out with one man and saying he's got all the power and all the authority. Now he makes this image, and what he wants to do, he wants to prove a point. So he's going to call in all of the officials of the kingdom. Because if you're going to rule under him, you must worship the way he says worship. Now Nebuchadnezzar purposed to establish a kingdom which would be both religious and political, and he would be the head over that kingdom entirely. So then the satraps, the sheriffs, the counselors, all of those, they're going to come in, and every one of them, if they're going to be an officer, if you're going to be in his political regime, you must bow to the image that he makes. Are you hearing me? So he wants all of it united now. It had never been on the earth like this before. So this is the ushering in of the Gentile kingdom. So it's not just for them in that time frame, 587 BC, something like that, whenever this is taking place. It is not just for that time frame alone, but it is prophetic, ushering in the time when the Gentiles, or the times of the Gentiles, as Daniel called them, also as Jesus called it in Matthew 24. So the times of the Gentiles started then 587 BC, and it's running right up to where we are to this very day. So he ushers this thing in, and it's not enough that he just says it and makes a decree, but he calls for everybody to come to headquarters. And everybody's got to show up. If you've got an office in the kingdom, you've got to show up. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been captured whenever they were younger. They were renamed, and of course you remember their story. And they were given a position in the kingdom. And once Nebuchadnezzar sees them, and it's amazing how they would do this from the Babylonian perspective. One of the things they wanted to do when they would go in and conquer a country, and they would search out the wise men. So they would bring in the people of wisdom of that particular place. And for the most part, they would set over a religious leader or a political leader over that country. And they would let them still go on and have an element of religious freedom. And they'd be able to worship and have their cities and so on. But they would have a head from Babylon. But he would take their wise men, and he wanted to learn, and he wanted to infiltrate and basically assimilate his kingdom with all these different cultures. So he wanted to use the power of assimilation to learn the Jews. He wanted to learn the Persia. He wanted to learn Rome or whatever more. He wanted to learn all of this and assimilate all this into his kingdom so he could make his kingdom a very diversified type of kingdom. So if a problem rose up in Jerusalem and you've got a man from Babylon that only speaks Babylonian language, he's only been raised in Babylon all of his whole life, life. There's no way that man can understand. But if you've got people in your kingdom from Jerusalem and they understand what you're talking about, their problem, then they can give you the advice on how to handle it. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you understand that's exactly what's going to be on the last day in the World Council of Churches? They're not all going to be Baptists. They're not all going to be Methodists. But they're let them maintain their separate identity. But they'll come under the headship of one mighty man. And then the Baptists will come up, well, brothers, you know, we don't want to do this. Okay, fine, fine. You just say that as long as you're under our control, then you do this and say that. Yes, sir. That's right, sir. Amen. That's what we'll do, sir. Don't you see? It's exactly what this man was doing. Now, whenever he sets up the image, because it is sort of a dispensational change for them, they'd never quite had it this way before, to where that a monarchy required the people to politically and religiously come under his headship. So here is something that is now changing. It had never quite been forced this way before. So ushering in with the Gentile head is coming a forced religion along with forced politics. So you've got politics and religion that is joined hand in hand, and you've got this man in power that if you don't do it, he'll simply kill you. If you don't do what he wants you to do, they'll just simply wipe you out. Now, whenever he does this, he wants to start from the head up, and then he'll work on down to the satraps, to the counselors, to all them different ones, and he wants them to bow down first. Then if they bow down, and remember, they have assimilated into the kingdom of Babylon. So here are three boys that are Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and no doubt there's others that are from Galatia or from Gaul or wherever they were from. So you've got people out there from Gaul, you've got people out there that are Jews, you've got people out there from Persia, you've got people from Assyria, you've got people from all this. So if you've got the mixture of this kaleidoscope of people up there, then if they see a Roman bow down, if they see a Jew bow down, or a Gaul bow down, or a Baptist or a Methodist bow down, so if you've got a Baptist pastor that he bows, and the people of his congregation will bow before the image as well. Well, go. I hope you hear me tonight. Now watch what he does, and whenever he comes up there, my, he wants all of this now to be very uniform. He is now ushering in the headship of the head to be over the political power as well as the religious power. And he calls all of them in, and he wants all of them to bow down. And wouldn't you know it, there's always some sticks in the mud. There's always some people that just won't never assimilate and do what you tell them to do. Why has there always got to be people that's cantankerous and won't just bow down like everybody else? As long as there's a God in heaven, there'll always be people like that. Thank God. I hope we remain part of it. Now, notice what he does. So he uses this image as six miles from the city, six instruments that are specified. And notice the thing that he ushers it in now. He uses a very, very cunning means by which to project this worship in. And that is, he uses music. Wow. He uses music. So these instruments are now put together, and no doubt they had demonic anointing on these men who had written or composed the music for this special occasion. And it was something that would be, who knows exactly what type of music it was, but it was something that must have been very cohesive for what they were trying to accomplish. So if you were having a funeral, you would want funeral music, right? If you're wanting a wedding, you have wedding music. If you're wanting idol worship, you have idol worship music. And if you want a tribulation period, then what do? You play rock and roll. Every Lowe's you go into, or Home Depot, or Walmart, or wherever, it's playing everywhere. Why? It's ushering their minds in for the tribulation period. Whoever thought you couldn't even go to Walmart without rock and roll, or Lowe's, or Home Depot? Don't you know? He knows exactly what he is doing. He's ushering their minds in because their music is catching their minds. And if it's not somebody run off with somebody else's wife, it's that head banging stuff, or they don't even understand what they're saying. But yet it does something to the soul. Well, you say, I can't even understand them words, Brother Donnie. I don't think they do either. But there is something about an assimilation. They are assimilating to that music. And that music is from hell itself, my friend. Oh my, notice now in verse 4, then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image. So notice what precedes the actual image worship itself. Music. 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 Satan has got his music going. He's got his rap for the rappers. He's got his country for the country music lovers. He's got his rock and roll. He's got his headbangers for the headbangers. He's got his thumpity thump thump for the thumpity thump thumpers. He's got whatever you want, whatever taste you have, he's got it there. What is it doing? Preceding the image of the beast. But God's also got music too. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now watch, throughout history, we know, of course we ain't got time to go in this, but throughout history we know that music has always testified of where the kingdom was. It's amazing, I've done a study on this some time ago, and I found out that in the reign of different kings, whether it was the king of England or Spain, they would send people out among the peasantry, the common folk, and they would dress up poor, they would look poor, and they would get among the peasantry, and they would hear what kind of songs that they were singing. And they would take that back to the king, and it would let the king know the mindset of the people. And then if need be, he would adjust his policies accordingly, because if the people were singing downtrodden songs, or if they were singing songs of revolt and rebellion, oh my, then the king knew. Why? Because the music is the very epitome of their soul. So if they're singing revolt and rebellion and we're going to destroy and we're going to do this, it showed the music had synchronized with their soul, and the king knew he better do something to change. Oh my. So you can imagine now the king must usher in. He must move on their emotions. He don't want it just to be fear, but he wants them to feel something. He wants them to feel an affinity with this image, because the image itself, of course, is dead. But if they can feel some sort of feeling with this image, it will lodge something down in them that a dead, dry religion will never do. And they'll never be spiritual enough to discern and separate that it's not the image causing it, it's the music. So they go to playing the music. Oh, my. And the music began to play. And music has power to grip human emotions. That's one thing about going to these Mexican restaurants around here to eat. You don't know what they're saying. Abomity be bom 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 bom. He all right. Every now and then you may understand a word. I understand a few words in Spanish. Burrito, chimichango, taco, enchilado. But you realize people who know it, you don't even have to know the words. But if you focus on the music alone, if you're not careful, you'll find your foot doing some type of Mexican tango. Cha-cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha-cha. And your wife's looking at you, your kids are looking. Why? Because the music, look, don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels now. Now, to assimilate, let me give you another meaning of the word, to assimilate, is to adopt the ways of another culture. To fully become part of a different society. So, to accept as part of who you are. So, it changes you from who you are. So it's to adopt the ways of another culture. So there has to be means by which people are willing to do that. Now, music can soothe. Music can be able to charm. Music. I've seen the guys in India, and whenever they take their little flutes and sit there, you probably read about it and all that. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen them with them take their flutes and sit there, and them snakes come up out of them basket, and the guy following me around trying to put one of them snakes on me. I ain't never hit nobody in my life, but I come close to hitting him. Now
Now you realize then that music has the ability, they've proven it, even in rehabilitation. They use certain types of classical music that has an effect on plants. And they put rock and roll by plants. And to watch that within a matter of days, during that rock and roll, the plant will droop its head and die, and classical music will make it grow. Well, if classical will do that, wonder what the real true gospel music will do. So music has the ability to soothe the beast. Or music also has the ability to bring the beast out of an individual according to the type of music that they listen to. Now watch this in Daniel chapter 3 verse 6. Now they're fixing to apply the pressure to assimilate. Now remember, this is around just prior to 600 BC. So here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're three great important men in the kingdom of Babylon. And now they've been given this position. What will they do? Will they use so-called wisdom and compromise? Or will they defy? Now I want you to put yourself in their state. And you tell me what you would have done. And I'll tell you whether or not you're going to the rapture. Now watch. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So now this comes from the king. He is their king. He is now their religious head. Now it's going to begin with you leaders. I want you all to bow down first. Well, you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't have no idea what the meeting was about. They're just going about being good godly Jews as they were at that time doing what they're supposed to do. And now they're hearing this for the first time. Notice in verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages fell down. Here's the diversity of now they're all receiving the image of the beast. Now, the furnace, I found this today, I want to share it with you. They used this threat of the burning fiery furnace. The furnace was used for smelting ore. It had a large opening at the top through which fuel and vessels full of ore could be placed into the fire. And there was a door at the bottom through which the metal was taken out. So you put the coal, the wood, whatever on top, and then you drop the vessels of the ore down in the top, and then there's a door down on the bottom on the side, and you open that up, and then you take the finished product out on the bottom door. Now watch this. An opening in a wall enabled the smelters to check on the progress of their work. And through the holes in the wall, they could use bellows to make the fire blaze even more. The unit was large enough for at least four persons to walk around. You know what, brother, sister? As long as my furnace has got room for Jesus, I believe I'll be all right. If it's me and you and you and you, I hope there's room for at least one more, Brother Terry. If it's you and your wife and your children, hopefully there's room, and we know there will be, for one more in your furnace, and you and you're thrown in there, you just go to looking for him because he will show up. Praise the Lord. Now remember, there was no promise in the scripture that said that God would absolutely deliver them. This had never been done before that we know and never been done since then. They had no quotes. They had no promises. They had no inspiration from God that he was even going to do it. But they were not going to assimilate into another culture. They were of a heavenly culture, of a heavenly influence, and they refused to assimilate. Oh my. Now you imagine there's thousands times thousands times thousands of Jews that are there. And they bow. Persians bow. Romans, Gauls, whatever they were, they bow. All these provincial heads, these presidents, these satraps, the sheriffs, the chiefs, everybody's down. Except for these three men. Amen. Is this wisdom? is this using wisdom? Some folks would say it was not. You ain't saying nothing, are you? Just you're not sure which way I'm going to go, so you're just going to hold your peace. Now watch in verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Well, you realize that's what they're doing on YouTube and on their websites today. The Chaldeans are accusing this. But at least we know who they are and they know who we are. Now watch in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Mm-hmm. Now boy, they're feeding it, ain't they? They're fanning the flames. Boy, they want to work on him. You imagine Nebuchadnezzar. We can read historically about him and see how he's a very hot-tempered sort of a guy. And you imagine whenever they told him, somebody ain't doing what you said, and they kept on fit. It's people that you've trusted. It's people that you've put in a high position. It's people that you have honored. Oh, my. His face is getting redder and redder. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, let's update it to a 2014 version. It's not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it's Amos, Terry, and Jim. They're brought before political correctness in this day. Or it's three of you young girls that go to school or go to college or out on a job somewhere. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. Wisdom or compromise? Which is it? Now in his rage, mine, his fury, he at least, you know, you can tell by the way he handles this, even in his anger, that he has an element of respect, because according to what the herald had said, anybody that didn't bow down immediately is going to be thrown in. But actually what he does, he gives these guys a second chance. But you can get word-born people a second chance, a 30-second chance, a 197th chance, and then when it's all said and done, they still ain't going to take your chance. They ain't going to take no chance of missing God. Amen. He thought he was being kind to them. He wasn't being kind to them. Their mind was made up. Now you imagine the pressure on these brothers to assimilate and just say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, you know what? I'll just bow down here and act like I'm worshiping. But I'll just in my heart say, oh, Jehovah God, I love you. I'm not worshiping this heathen idol. God, I hate that devil. I'm worshiping you, Jehovah. But I'm acting like, because I love my head on my shoulders, Lord. I don't want my skin running down in that furnace. You see, some of the message folks would have done that and called it wisdom. Some of our message coward preachers would have done that. Well, glory. Glory. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Terry, Amos, and Jim. You will not bow to my political correctness? Do you men know who I am? And what I can do to you. I can throw you in a furnace. That may be true. You can throw me in a furnace. But I'd rather be thrown in your furnace than thrown into hell. So if I'm going to choose between the two, I'll choose your furnace if I have to go that way and save hell afterwards. Oh my. Do you not serve my gods? nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the rock and roll music, the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So here they go, this same YouTube video. He's saying almost the same thing that this other guy said. Oh, glory. Except he's going to add a little bit in order to project his prophetic image. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Thank you, Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you so much for saying that. Because with that little last added part of your cliche, you now made it a personal challenge to Jehovah himself. Now you've moved beyond Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now you are challenging the Almighty God. Oh, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Notice, it shows his absolute authority over religion, over heaven, over hell. He thinks he's arrived to that place. You imagine a man getting under such a delusion. But he actually now makes a challenge to the Almighty. I challenge any God who can circumvent my authority. You imagine Gabriel saying, Papa, did you hear what he said? And Wormwood said, Papa, you heard? You want me to go down? Oh, no. He didn't challenge you, Gabriel. He didn't challenge you, Wormwood. He challenged me. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, children, when folks challenge this message, when they challenge a prophet of God, when they challenge you as believers and us as preachers that are preaching it, don't make this battle like it's yours. Don't make it like it's all about you. It ain't all about you. It's about the devil being against our God. It's about darkness being against light. We're just a little small portion of this great big warfare. It's bigger than Happy Valley. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than just a few handful of people. It is a war that started by and by before the foundation of the world. And the King of Light will win this war. Hallelujah. He will win. And if we're on his side, we win with him. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, Oh, sir, we are so sorry. We really regret that we made that tape. It was a terrible mistake on our part. And we're so sorry that we've offended everybody. And we'll make another one. We'll redo it and we will apologize. No. No, sir. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Whoa. Are you guys asking for trouble? Are you guys troublemakers? Are you looking to cause trouble? This man has the ability to snuff out, literally, your life. And you're not even going to be careful. You're not going to use the political words. You're not going to, oh, help me to see here. What can I say? What can I say? Let me see. They said, nah. We're not even going to be careful. We don't need the word careful here is in the order of defending themselves. We don't need to defend ourselves before you. But our God will defend us. Oh, glory. My. We are not careful to answer thee. If you're going to comprehend it, they are not the least bit worried. Now, as human beings, you know the element of fear is always around every human. Jesus fought it. No doubt Abraham did. Moses, Jeremiah. No doubt the human element was there with them like it is with us, with things that we face. But there was something from their culture, the land of their true inheritance, that anointed them to speak a word of rebuke to this message of assimilation. Now, the message of the herald of the king was a message of assimilation. The king comes back with the same message, with a message of assimilation, but their culture, the land they were from, not Jerusalem, the land they were from, don't you understand, this is not a Kentucky thing with me. This is not a Kentucky thing. This don't run in Kentucky culture to do this or believe this. It's the land of my birth. It is the land of my true nativity to stand with this word. It runs in my family to die for it if need be. That's where I'm from. I'm not from the land of 10,000 cowards. I'm born from a land of heroes. It runs in our family. We're all heroes in one form or another. Now, true faith doesn't look for loopholes. And maybe they could say, now, wait a minute. Don't it make more sense that we would be better off to serve the Jewish kingdom and serve the people of God by being here in this position than it would to be wind up being ashes in the bottom of the furnace? Could not do more for the kingdom of God. Don't you understand why the prophet of God said in the last days when the beast power raises up that these denominational preachers will look at it and they say, look, I'd be of more benefit to be in there than I would from a church to be shut down. I wonder if there won't be some message folks that'll go exactly the same way. And what will they do? They'll take right on the image of the beast because they're able to do something for the kingdom of God. Yeah, supposedly for the kingdom of God under the headship of the Antichrist. So they had to go beyond wisdom, so-called. They had to go beyond what the flesh would say. And say, how can we do this? How could I bow my knees and act like I'm praying to that image? Well, I could do it now and then ask for forgiveness later. That's not in a child of God. Faith rests itself on commands and promises of God. Faith doesn't fear threats. The flesh does. The spirit does. The mind does. The human part does. But faith don't. Times of adversity are usually times of opportunity if one only sees them. Let's go a little farther, shall we? Oh my. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Now, these men were men of faith, but they were not men of presumption. Watch the next verse, you understand what I'm saying? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. It had not been revealed to them so far that they were going to be delivered. So they are looking at this. This is the end of their lives. They're going to be thrown down the mouth of this furnace on the top. They're going to be dropped down in there. And basically as soon as they get into that temperature, it's going to kill them instantly. Their ministry's over, their effect is over, their influence is over, and who's going to take care of their wives or children or, you know, whatever more is involved? What's going to happen? They say, we don't know if he'll move for us or not. You see, their faith was not in the deliverance. Their faith was in the deliverer. Glory to God. They didn't know that God would deliver them. They didn't know what God would do, but they knew God. I don't know how much we'll go through in this life. I don't know what kind of sickness and disease that you and I might have, but I know my God is a healer. I know my God is a deliverer. Oh, well, I didn't get my healing. Now my faith is all down. You know why? You had your faith in the deliverance instead of the deliverer. And when you didn't get what you asked for, then you're all down in the mouth and you're all downtrodden. But if your faith is in the deliverer, whether you get it now or next week, it ain't going to shake it. Whether you get it now or next month, it ain't going to shake it, because your faith is in the deliverer. Brother, sister, we need to learn from the principles of these great men. We don't know. I can't say for sure. But I know this. I'm not bowing to you. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve your Trinitarian gods. Now, is this wisdom? Is it wisdom to speak to a man of such authority who has the ability to end your life? So if it was three of you people written in the book of Daniel, what would be your words? Would you have tried to use some polished up political correctness and said truth in such a way that you tried to confound Nebuchadnezzar? So when you got done, they didn't really know if you believed or didn't believe, or where you stood or where you didn't stand. Yeah. Not these guys. They said, oh, just to make sure that you understand. It really don't matter where God brings us out of here or not, but there's one thing for sure. We are not fixing to bow to Daniel. True faith isn't frightened by the devil's threats. Impressed by crowds. Motivated by motivational speakers. Faith rests upon God's unfailing word. Friends, you might as well say amen to this. You know it's the truth. A lot of the preachers in pulpits today ain't nothing but motivational speakers. That's all they are. They ain't nothing but psychologists and try to help you understand this and that and other about yourself. How in the world can I help myself get to heaven when I was as lost as a goose? How in the world could you help yourself and make yourself a better person and try to be a better man when you get done doing everything you can do for yourself? You're still lost. How in the world can I make myself worthy of heaven or give myself enough faith to get out of here in a rapture? I can't do it. And I acknowledge that, and I accept I am a weak mortal that needs a divine intervention. And I thank God I have been sent a message, and you have been sent a message in the last day that is bringing to the bride of Christ a rapturing faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. So here's all the counselors, all the sheriffs, all the big people. And these three guys are standing there by themselves. We're not even sure exactly what God's going to do here. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Oh my, how could these men do this without the Holy Ghost? They were not born again. They were not born again. They did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I believe there's three elements by which these men were able to stand. We know they were predestinated by God. But Predestination aligns itself with something that corresponds to the individual on the earth. That there's something in the individual that corresponds to the predestinated nature of God. These men knew that God was sovereign. And they knew they loved Him and served Him. And they were there not because they chose to be there. They were there because they had been captured, or they were there because of the sins of their fathers. They'd already taken their stand and refused to eat the diet of these people and proved what it would do to stay true to the Word. Is that right? So they knew that God was sovereign. If God allowed them, they could have been plowboys out there. They could have been men out there who only went around sowing crops and hoeing maters and taters and whatever more. But somehow the sovereign God allowed them to be in a famous position. So if the Lord God allowed them to be in a famous, renowned position, and now the Lord God is allowing them because of that position to be now to be the very aim of the entire kingdom, they must have believed somehow that sovereign God was in charge of it all. And that He would bring glory out of it. They also knew that the Scriptures was right. They knew that God's Word was infallible. They knew they could not bow to another image. So they've got confidence. They know God is sovereign. They know the Scripture is right. Amen. That's why they could stand there with so much faith and say, if it be so, He will not deliver us. We're still not going to bow. And you know what else they knew? They knew they were willing to die for their convictions. If God is sovereign and the Word is right and what I'm standing for is true, then I am willing to die for my conviction. Come on, church. If this message is not good enough to die for, let's get away from it. If you're not willing to lay your life down for this gospel, then you cowards, you need to come up here and pray through tonight. Hallelujah! These men believed, and they were willing to stand on their conviction.
More than likely, most of us are never going to be faced with this type of a thing. As far as a furnace or anything like that is concerned. But you never know what we'll be faced with before we leave this world. My, look at this in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so happy and so full of joy that these men had stood up for what they believed. So he decided to drop all charges. That's from the I Wish It Was So book, chapter 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. But notice, it was changed against. Notice what the Bible says. The form of his visage was changed against. Open your ears, children. This is where we are. This is why folks who loved you years ago and hugged you and, oh my, you're just the greatest Christian that ever was. Now their visage has been changed against you. Now you're a devil. Now you're rotten and no good and no count. Come on now, you know it's the truth. Why? The fury now changes his visage against, not everybody, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace. 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Oh my goodness. Poor, dumb devil. Sometimes I don't know that you've got the sense that God gave a jackrabbit. Don't you understand? This is going to be even a greater miracle than it was if you'd have left it alone. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Pressure to assimilate. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, which is contrary to the way Chaldeans burnt people. Now you see, the Persians worshipped fire, so they wouldn't burn people. But the Babylonians did not worship fire. So they used this smelting thing they had in major cities. They would use this for ore, and they would also use it to kill people. Since they was not fire worshipers, they did not consider it holy. But what they would always do is take their regular clothes off of them and put on just a very sheer white type of thing where it would catch on fire real quick. And generally they would leave it at low heat, sort of like a barbecue, so it would extend the pain and the suffering. He is so mad and so angry. He gets on YouTube and or on Facebook. They're showing their stupidity, their ignorance, and their fear. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So let me just give those of you who want to try to destroy this message, me, this church, these saints, the saints in Uganda, the saints in Kenya, the saints all over the world. Let me show you your end. You will try to destroy us, but the means by which you try to destroy us will annihilate you. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the furnace fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. There's one of our guys in there. One of your guys can't handle that. Then one of our guys falling in. Your guys can't take the pressure of the bride can. That's why some of these folks has got to leave. The pressure's getting too great. They can't handle it. But we can. We're called to. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the first is like the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. The form of the first is like the Son of God, a heathen king. And yet God let him look into that furnace and see the angel of God, which is Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Children, let me tell you, wherever you go in the will of God, that same Lord Jesus is with you. I see four. You see, this is a display of the power of being assimilated into the message of your day. You are so assimilated into that word that what did God do? God must have moved him. We know what it was. He said, the angels come before him and said, Father, don't you see they're fixing to throw him in? He said, I know it. Don't you see grabbed over hold of a thunderhead come down through and a lightning bolt went down through that big fan? And he said, whenever they throw them inside the furnace, he was already there waiting on them. Oh, glory. When you go through a trial of sickness or a trial of tribulation in your life, remember the Son of God is there in the furnace waiting on you to get there. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. come for us. Isn't it amazing? They refused to obey him when he said, bow down. But as soon as he said, come forth, they walked out. Why, he's saying something that's all right now. Oh my, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth, Lord Jesus. May we be able to take that verse of scripture tonight and you put your name in it, Brother Greg. You put your name in it, my brother, sister, and say, Dave or Dan or Judy, whoever, come forth out of the fiery trial. Not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I will come out of my trial. I will come out of my test. Why? I've not just got that Lord Jesus waiting at a building somewhere. I've got him in this building 24 hours a day. He's with me when I'm down. He's with me when I'm up. He's with me when I feel him. He's with me when I don't feel him. He's with me when I feel discouraged. He's with me when I feel encouraged. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Wisdom or compromise? Verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Now if they would have assimilated under the pressure of assimilation and received the power of assimilation of the Babylonians, the fire would have had power over their bodies. But because they assimilated into the message of the hour, the fire had no power over their bodies. Let me tell you something, my brother, sister, because you are assimilated into the Word of God for this day. Death. There's some of you sitting in this place tonight that death will have no power over your body. Glory be to God. There's people sitting right here tonight, no doubt, that will not die. That you will be alive and remain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because you have assimilated. An old death has watched you since you was a little boy. He's tried to take in the car wreck. He's tried to take in all types of mishap. Oh my, but there's going to be some folks alive in the last day that will cheat death because they are assimilated into an Elijah message. They are assimilating into a rapture message into the top of the headstone of the pyramid. They are becoming that word. Let me close. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of smoke. You can't even cook a hamburger without smelling like it. Now you imagine you're thrown in this grill, and you're walking around down there. Not one hair turned up on their hands. Not one hair turned up on their arm. They didn't walk out of there like a frizzy, I don't know what. But you know what? They walked right out of there like they just been to lunch. Glory to God. They just went out with the Son of God. They just had a date with the Son of God. They just had a representation meeting with the Son of God. And he comes in to children, don't worry. And he was down there fanning the flames off of them. Hallelujah. Lord God, may I come out of my trials that way. With not even the smell of the smoke. Many of us come out of our trial, but you can sure tell we've been in it. Cause we carry that smell with us forever. We want everybody to know it. We smell like this and smell like that. Come on, children. Let the Lord God give us strength enough to where it don't even singe your hair. It don't change our coat. It don't change our expression. Some of you go through trials and you take on the image of that trial. It's a long trial and you get a long face. It's a difficult trial and you got a difficult faith, but let's be like them. The fire never changed them. They didn't smell like trouble. They didn't act like trouble. They acted like sons of God. The result of assimilation.
that Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. Notice this wasn't an angel from the Lord. This was the angel of the Lord. What God started forming himself towards flesh in Christ. A theophanic appearance of the angel of God. Lord Jesus. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants. Well, I like them possessives, don't you? His angel, his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship or any God except their own God. Lord, children, if this can be said about us, you talking about overcomers in this age. Remember, this is not God saying this. This is not the church saying this. This is the king that despised these men and got so furious and angry. And all the rest of these people are joining in and saying it. They're the one you talking about a victor when our enemies can say, I may not agree with them, but they're good people. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language should speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Lord, hallelujah! Glory to God. By one act of faith, and three men who would not compromise, an entire kingdom was witnessed to. Plus millions that have read this story. Here we are in 2014. And this story that you learned in Sunday school has once again ministered to your soul and your heart right here tonight. Isn't it the truth? Verse 30, we'll close. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I'm looking for a promotion too. I don't want to be the best preacher in the message. I'm too old for that. I don't want to be the most famous. Nah, don't skip that too. Don't want to be the most rich. Don't give away too much money for that. I don't want to be the most liked. Huh, that's a joke. But I do want a promotion. A promotion. When this mortal will take on immortality. When I step out of my fiery furnace. Think, Brother Jim. The trial we're going through now. The trial you're going through now, Brother Sam. It might be the very last one you'll ever have. Oh, you said, Brother Donnie, I've heard you say that before. I know I've said it before, and it has been for some people. And it might be yours tonight. But one of these days, you'll step out of that furnace for your last time. Amen. And he'll take you home to your reward. Let's bow our heads, if you would. Forgive me for going over a few minutes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, we have no way of knowing really what lays ahead of us. We can see around us politically the agendas that are being brought up, our Supreme Court and our judges. We can see the issues, the social issues that are being faced. Lord, we've heard about it in the last few weeks of ministers' sermons who've been summoned by the authorities in Houston. And I wonder in my mind, is that just coincidence that it started in Houston? Since it was not in Houston that the pillar of fire ascended in this day. And from Houston, they want to get ministers' notes and see what they've preached about homosexuality. And two more preachers out in Idaho who may be facing years of imprisonment, thousands of dollars of fines.
because they will not marry gay couples. Help us to realize, Lord, we're only one law away. Oh, they said when they wanted their rights. No, that's not what they're going to do, but we know better. We know that's what they're going to do. And right now, the churches are protected, but we're just one law away from not being. So then if I refuse to marry some, then what happens? They keep passing their agenda. Lord Jesus, we know all this is leading to the consummation of the ages, the rapture. In order to justify the destruction that awaits this nation, the cup of her iniquity must be so full and proverbially running over. Surely she's getting closer, Lord. In order for an atomic bomb to strike her, in order for the earthquake to hit her, and millions that'll die at one time, the wrath of God must belch beneath her. Lord Jesus, we pray for mercy if there's any that can be given. To the nation as a whole, we don't even pray for her anymore. But individuals. Lord, some of these folks have got children. Aunts, uncles, moms, dads, whatever more. People that's backslid. Be merciful, Lord. Lord, for any of these that have turned away or they've run their mouths, they've said all kinds of things. But Lord, if there can be any mercy extended to any of them, Lord, we don't hate anybody. If mercy can be, if they've not crossed the line. No doubt some of them have and they'll never come back. But if they can, Lord, I'm hearing of a few that are returning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Father. Help us to stand. Lord Jesus, we don't know exactly our church, what we may have to go through, what we may have to face. But I believe there's some here that'll be left standing. No doubt with some political pressure, some legal pressure, some will be gone, they'll never come back. But those of your elect, they cannot be run off. Help us, Jesus. I wish my lot, as far as a human, as far as a preacher, could be one that nobody knew. I wish I could pastor some little small church somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody knew me, never heard my name. But that's not the lot you gave me, Lord. People that are envious of a ministry that people all over the world know you and look to you and call you and email you. They think they want such a thing. God have mercy. They think they want to be where people know you everywhere. I would to God nobody knew me. The human part, Lord. But yet if you and your divine plan chose men like me, men like Brother Tim Pruitt, men that we could go on and name on and on and on to carry this message in the last days. No doubt some of us will be public figures of criticize. But Lord Jesus, we know you're that same one that was in that furnace. I don't ask you, Lord, to keep me from the furnace. If somehow you want me to go in, I just ask you to give me courage. Help me that I won't be faint-hearted, Lord. As a human, when I feel the flames come close to me, as a man, I get afraid. As a man, Lord, I become scared. But Lord Jesus, may you give my heart courage and strength. I know you'll be waiting for me. I know you will. Hallelujah. I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord, and those that stream the service. May the presence of God, maybe a mom and dad sitting out there, Lord, don't know which way they're going to go, their income, their children turned away from you, various things in their life. They seem like it's so hot against them. Father God, may you give their heart strength and courage. Granted, I pray, Lord. May you come down on that
great cloud of glory sail down into their furnace of fire. When they get down in there, they feel this fan blowing. And they look over in the corner, and there you are. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. What have you gone through tonight, friends? Whatever you're facing, raise your hands up in your furnace. Raise your hands up in your furnace. Maybe you're right at the doorway. Them strong, mighty men have got their arms right on your arms, and they're hurting you bad. You can feel their fingers as they're buried into your muscles on your arms. And they're grabbing you and treating you rough, bossing you around and telling you, we're going to do this and that and the other. And you're taking a step closer and a step closer, and you can feel the heat. You can feel the flames, and the sweat pops out on your face. But remember, He's mindful of you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look, friends, I don't think we ought to go around and taunt. I don't think we ought to be arrogant. I don't think we ought to be looking for trouble. These guys were not that way. They were not taunting the devil. They were not aggravating the devil. They were in the line of duty. And when we're in the line of duty and we're thrown in the furnace, don't you worry, He'll be there. And if it is His will that some of us would go that way, you know what? All of us may not walk out. It may be His will that some of us go, but our testimony still lives on. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You can have no greater wisdom than to stand for God's word. Wisdom is not looking for a loophole to make it more acceptable. Can't you see what some of the preachers in this message want to do? They want to leave this out and leave that out and polish the message and take the rough edges off. And well, maybe Brother Branham shouldn't have said that. Man, I wish Brother Branham hadn't have said that. Oh, I wish Brother Branham hadn't have said that. So that's what you'd have done to John the Baptist? That's what you'd done to Elijah? That's what you'd done in the other days gone by when them men of God stood up there and preached messages of very sharp, rough corners on it? Not me, brother. We need them sharp corners. Cut the world out of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to stand for Him? With all your heart? Sing something for us, Harry. Can you? Brother Donnie, that's scary. I know it's scary. I feel it on you. I feel your fear. What's any use in being afraid? Them guys, if they was in the will of God, they were better off in that furnace than they were set at home in their recliner drinking a glass of iced tea. They were more safe in that furnace than they was back out there when nobody even seen them. They were in the will of God. And they gave their lives and their lives that one experience. That's all we know about these guys. That's what we know about their lives. And that one experience with God has influenced millions of people. Oh, hallelujah. You're talking about letting God take your life and make a blessing out of you. God takes your life and makes a blessing out of your testimony.
Praise God. How many needs courage and strength in your furnace? Won't you ask Him? Won't you ask Him? He's right here tonight, Shadrach. Brother Meshach, He's right here. Sisters, He's right here. Ask Him for what you need. Tell Him like you'd sit down and talk to your closest friend. Lord, I need strength. Lord, my heart gets faint, but I'm not faint-hearted. I get weary, but I'm not about to quit.
Amen.
Just tell Him what we sing and worship Him. Praise God.
In prisoner's chains,
yes, Lord.
With bleeding stripes,
yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
All inside,
yes, Father. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us that which we need, Lord God.
And in their pain,
hallelujah.
See the change.
Amen.
now, children. He's mindful of what you need. If they want you here, you tell him, Father, I need it. Father, I need
your name.
Let's bless his name.
I bless your name. I give. If you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and pray. Defy those chains, and they.
Raise our hands soon, saints. Just close our eyes. Let's just worship him now. Thou, O Lord, utter strength to me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Though my enemies come against me, Lord God, though they can pass me round about, I will not fear. Hallelujah. I will not fear the arrow that flieth by day or the terror that moveth by night. For the Lord God is on my right hand. He will not allow me to be moved. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength. He is my refuge, a present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. 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 Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. For the glory and the lifter of my head. Everybody sing it with me now. Thou, O Lord, art a shield.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord God. Oh, the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a lifter. Listen now.
The trouble,
that trouble me.
Many are the demon spirits.
Many are the demon spirits
that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul.
Of my soul.
There is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord in my bones. He heard me.
Glory.
Of His holy healing.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
I lay me down and I slept. When I wake up, the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me. Your glory, you are the lifter of my head. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons.
Hallelujah.
That encamp themselves.
Hallelujah.
Against me round about.
Thou, Lord,
art a shield.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And let us depart from this place tonight reading the psalm which is the background for the rapture. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. A war against one man. Though a war will rise against me, not me and my soldiers, me. And this one thing will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I didn't want to be rich. I didn't want to be famous. I didn't want to be this, that, the other. But one thing I desired. And that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. All the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock.
Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Glory. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friends, if that is not a perfect background for the rapture, I don't know one. If that don't describe the hour that we're living in. Praise be to God. I do not believe Brother Branham just at random picked that. I believe it was divinely, sovereignly led the Spirit of God. It is the only time on tape that Brother Branham ever read or ever even referred to Psalms 27. This is your psalm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh yes, I want wisdom. But I don't want man's wisdom that would lead me to compromise. I want God's wisdom. If I need to scream aloud, I want to scream. If I need to hold my peace, I want to hold it. The key is being led of the Spirit of God.
You love Him with all your heart. Amen. It has been a privilege for us to be together tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Come, sweet Jesus, come take me away. I really don't belong here now. I want to see.
Yeah.